Grace and peace to you who have lives and have them to the full. So there's this man. He's got the whole world at his disposal. He's got the most lavish, opulent kingdom that will ever be and ever was. And he runs this grand experiment. Can I find meaning in life under the sun? And right up front, he tells us the findings. Right at the beginning of the book, he says, meaningless, meaningless, everything's meaningless. It's just this vapor. It's like when you go out on a cold day, you breathe out, you see your breath. It's there for a second, and then it's gone. And another way he describes it is chasing after the wind. It's just a fool's errand. You can chase the wind, but you're not going to catch it. He wants us to hear him and listen to him, and he's the king over Israel. He's the wisest man that God has made other than our Lord and Savior. And so we're supposed to listen to him. He learned the hard way, and so now he's telling us so we don't learn the hard way ourselves. So he's saying, listen to my wisdom. And so there we have this dream. I think we all have a dream in our mind's eye of things we'd like to do, things that, man, that would just be absolutely awesome. That would be epic if we could do that, and that would bring so much fulfillment to my life. And Solomon says, that dream, been there, done that. I've done more than what you can dream about. And I'm here to tell you that it's meaningless. It's chasing after the wind. Not only that, he says, what a burden God has laid on mankind to keep us busy our whole lives. There you are, you wash the dishes. Well, I guess first I got to back up. You make a meal, you wash the dishes, just to do what? To make a meal, to wash the dishes, and on it goes. Is the laundry ever done? And not as long as you're wearing clothes. You see, we're in this perpetual game. It's not 52-card pickup. It's pickup sticks, but there's no end to the sticks. It just goes and goes. People live their lives. They look forward to retirement. And you know those who have retired and died. They work their whole life to die. Well, then there are those of you who have made it past retirement into retirement. And there you are. But then he says, pain follows their whole life. Their whole life we're living in pain to some level of degree. Even the young children we have scrape their knees, get cuts, have pain, they get sick. Their occupation is frustrating, he says. And then even at bedtime, we're supposed to go and get some rest. There is your brain. How do I engineer this problem? How do I talk through that? How do I talk through that relationship that's not supposed to be what it is? How do I let them get me to see the grandkids more often? And there is your mind running. Even at night, we don't have rest. Then we get to the thing that really bothers Solomon the most. It's this great equalizer. Doesn't matter how rich, how smart, how wise, how well you manage things. You and the fool are going to both die, and you can't take any of that with you. So you can work hard, you can gain all these assets, everything, but then when you die, you think it's going to go one place, you hope it goes to one place, but you don't really know, you don't really have control. You think of the person who's got the generational business. They've worked six generations. But then when the great-great-grandson gets it, what's he going to do with it? He just sells it. All this hard work, all this generation after generation, and it's gone. it's meaningless. It's, you work so hard and then it's nothing. So there is Solomon saying, what's the point? What's the point to work so hard, so wisely, if it just goes on? So you got to ask yourself the question, does your life have meaning? And I think most of you would say, well, yeah, it does. It's got to have meaning. Otherwise, what are we doing? You get to this point where you say, life under the sun, does it have meaning? And Solomon says, it doesn't. There's no meaning. And so we say, well, Solomon, are you a believer? You're telling us that life is hopeless? And Solomon is saying, yeah, that's what I'm telling you. Under the sun. So you look at your own life and you say, okay, well, is Solomon right? Is my life have meaning under the sun? How can you tell? Well, you run a diagnostic. Run a diagnostic. All the stuff in your life, how long is it going to last? Think about your work. How long is your work going to last for? Here's another way to run the diagnostic. Pearl Harbor. Remember Pearl Harbor? It means something to you? Who do you think it means the most for? The older people here or the younger people here? You think it means much for my sons? Doesn't mean that much to them. How long is it going to be until we forget about Pearl Harbor? It sounds like a sinful thing to say, forgetting about Pearl Harbor. You think in 500 years it'll be in any textbook? You think in 500 years anyone will remember it? That's alive. So then, does Pearl Harbor have any meaning? It does. It's got short-term meaning, but it does not have eternal, lasting meaning. So now we draw you back into your own life. All the things you do in life, how much meaning do they have? 100 years of value? ?200? 500? Is anyone going to remember you? Your kids, what happens when your kids die? Your grandkids die, your great-grandkids die, are they going to remember you? Where do you find meaning in life? So let's run the diagnostic just a little bit longer. So let's start taking things out of your life. Let's say you couldn't work anymore. You're not capable of working. Just remove that from your life. Does your life still have meaning and value and purpose? Let's take the money out of your life. All your money goes away, and now you're living paycheck to paycheck or worse. Does your life still have meaning? Now it turns a little bit more personal, and now imagine that you don't have any friends. You're not popular with your family. People look at you as a failure. Does your life have meaning? You whittle it finally down to the fact that let's say you were just alive. You were just breathing at the end of the day. That's all you were. Does your life have meaning? Where do you find meaning and value and worth right now in your life? So now let me give you a little backstory about the philosophies that are circling around in our day and age that influence how we live. First out, I'll start with, well, the one that's really going on right now is called postmodernism. Well, we started out with modernism. Modernism came after World War I. People said, look at all these inventions we got. We just need to use our brains and science, and we'll figure out the meaning to life. We'll find objective truth, the thing to live for. We'll find it. We don't need God. We'll find it. We're just on an upward trajectory. We got this. Then World War II happened. And that trajectory kind of got shattered. So then postmodern thought came along and said, you know what? We still don't need God. But you know what the meaning in life is? That there's no objective truth. There's no overarching story. There's no meta-narrative. There's nothing that tells you what you should be doing in life. There's no meaning in life. So in essence, the meaning in life is there's no meaning in life. So then what does that lead people to do? You have to create your own meaning. You have to be your own God. You have to dictate what reality is. And that's what's playing out right before our eyes. People create a reality in which they are, let's say, a dog. But if there's no absolute truth, there's no right and wrong, nobody can tell them they're wrong. Why do people get driven to a place that's not reality? If they don't do that, all that's left for them is hopelessness and despair. So they'd rather fool themselves than to go to that place. It's in our songs. I'll read the lyrics to this song for you. You who are older here will probably remember this song. It was made famous by Peggy Lee. Is that all there is? So listen to the lyrics, and I want you to think about what she's saying and what the meaning in life is according to her and what the remedy is, the remedy. Here we go. I remember when I was a very little girl, our house caught on fire. I never forgot the look on my father's face as he gathered me up in his arms and raced through the burning building onto the pavement. And I stood there shivering in my pajamas and watched the whole world go up in flames. And when it was all over, I said to myself, is that all there is to a fire? And we hit the chorus. Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball, if that's all there is. And when I was 12 years old, my daddy took me to the circus, the greatest show on earth. There were clowns and elephants and dancing bears, and a beautiful lady in pink tights flew high above our heads. As I sat there watching, I had the feeling that something was missing. I don't know what. When it was all over, I said to myself, is that all there is to the circus? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball, if that's all there is. And then I fell in love with the most wonderful boy in the world. We take long walks down by the river or just sit for hours gazing into each other's eyes. We were so very much in love. Then one day he went away, and I thought I'd die, but I didn't. When I didn't, I said to myself, is that all there is to love? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep. I know what you must be saying to yourselves. If that's the way she feels about it, why doesn't she just end it all? Oh no, not me. I'm not ready for that final disappointment. Because I know just as well as I'm standing here talking to you, and when that final moment comes and I'm breathing my last breath, I'll be saying to myself, is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, if that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing, let's break out the booze and have a ball. If that's all there is. What's the remedy? The remedy is to keep partying, because the moment you stop the party, you stop the dancing. You have hopelessness and despair. That's what the best thinkers in the world can come up with. So, my dear friends, it's not surprising if that's where the world is at, that they are willing to go to any lengths to alter their reality so they don't have to live a life that's meaningless, that's hopeless. But you and I, dear friends, we know the truth. And yet sometimes we get drawn into the same kinds of things. We run after all these things in the world. You've seen people. You've seen them. They go after work, career, money. They spend their whole life doing that just to end up with nothing in the end. Or they go after people, relationships, and entourage. That's where they spend their whole life. They get run through the spin cycle and they come out and their life's soaking wet. Where does Solomon lead us to the gospel? He says this: "For who can eat or enjoy himself apart from God? Yes, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness to the man he considers good." What determines if we're good? We go to our second lesson for that answer. "Therefore, because you were raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." So the best thinkers we got in this world, these postmodern thoughts, they're dead wrong. Your life isn't worthless. You aren't just some set of genetic mutations that happened by chance. Someone did think about you. Your life isn't worthless. Your worthless life died there. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And you see what that does for you? It allows you to rest all your meaning and worth there with Christ. So now you don't have to alter reality. You don't have to go and find meaning. You simply let God give it to you. He tells you what reality is. You're his child, you're his heir, you're going to rule with him. That's better than anything you could find on earth. And so that's why he says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And then we get the warning from the gospel lesson. Check your heart against all kinds of greeds, because the possessions aren't going to make or break you. Being rich in this world isn't. You got to be rich towards God. God's the one that makes you rich. By God's grace, you're all rich. But then there's our sinful nature that will tell you otherwise and will say, no, you got to chase it. You got to chase it. The world throws that stick, and a lot of times we fall for it. At the end of that reading, it said, Christ is all in all. Whatever your heart is desiring, you can find it in Christ. And there your heart will rest. If you try and find it outside of Christ, you won't ever find it. If you're looking for peace, the only place you're going to find it is there. If you're looking for a great thrill, the only place you're going to keep getting thrilled is in Christ. Whatever it is, if you're looking to be loved. On and on it goes. You'll find it in Christ, and there your heart will be able to rest. In this world, it won't. It won't happen. So here we are in this world, and we're picketed to the cross, to Christ, and there our life is hidden. And God says, here's the grass you eat, here's the water you drink. And then our eyes look up, and they see the grass that is out of reach. And Christ sees our longing eyes, and he says, the grass ain't greener on the other side. In fact, if you break this picket rope and you go eat that grass, it's going to be meaningless. It's going to be worthless. And so what we try and do in life is we try and do both. We try and stay picketed to the cross, but then we try and also eat the grass that's on the other side. And so there is this area where we're getting drawn away from the cross, and we're getting drawn away from Christ to find meaning in the world. And what is Solomon teaching us here? He's saying, the only way you can enjoy life is from God. That's the only way you can sit down at a meal with your family and have real joy. What people do is they conflate happiness and joy. Can money buy happiness? Well, for a while it can. If you give me $1,000 right now, I can have a good time for a while and I can be happy. The thing is happiness is not lasting. There's some factors that dictate if I'm happy or not. Joy, on the other hand, is not circumstantial. You have joy when you got the $1,000 in your pocket. You got joy when you're negative 20. You've got joy when life is going your way. You've got joy when you're dying. This is what Solomon points us to. He says, this God makes your life have meaning and purpose. Everything else in life is worthless apart from God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, your life has meaning. It's hidden with Christ. He is all in all. Amen.